Today we celebrate the Ascension. So 40 days after our Lord had risen body and soul from the grave and had spent time teaching his apostles, the time had come for him to go back to his heavenly Father. And so our Lord ascended into heaven in glory. This is the completion of the saving act. So Jesus, true God, had become true man in the mystery of the Incarnation. The Word had become flesh and dwelt among us. Our dear Lord, by his very incarnation, had elevated our human nature to something even better. He'd given us an even greater dignity. He had perfectly revealed God's truth and love to us. He had humbled himself to share in our humanity so that we could share in his divinity. He went to the cross to offer the sacrifice to forgive our sins. He rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. And now, having gone to heaven, he has prepared a place for us. We look forward with hope to heaven. We don't look down to a grave. But for those who have followed him faithfully in this life, we have the hope of heaven. Keep in mind, too, when we think of the Ascension, we have to remember Christ is still with us. Because he is in heaven, he's no longer bound to this time and space. He's no longer stuck at this point, this moment. Rather, Christ can be with each one of us every moment of our lives. He truly can be that good shepherd who walks with us, whether through the verdant pastures or the darkest valleys. Christ is with us. In a very special way, he's in the midst of his church. St. Paul, in his beautiful letter to the Ephesians, reminds us that Christ is the head, the church is the body. Christ works through his church and is present to his church. So whenever we read sacred scripture, we need to be mindful Christ is speaking to us. The Word of God speaks to us. When the church teaches, it teaches with the authority of Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. When we celebrate sacraments, Christ is present. Christ is sharing his divine life and love with us. How beautiful it is to know that in receiving the Holy Eucharist, we truly receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So because of the Ascension, Christ can be present to us right here and now, every moment of our lives. And that gives us great hope, especially as we continue our journey through life. And yet, while we think of the joy and the hope that we celebrate this Ascension, we have to remember there is work to do. Jesus said to his apostles, "Now you go out and you continue the mission. You proclaim the gospel." The angels said to the apostles, "Why are you looking up in the heavens? Get to work." And the apostles did. And that work continues on. Continues on until his second coming. We are part of that work. Now this week, you may have heard on the news a report from the Pew Foundation, which did a survey and said that in the past 7 years, those who identify themselves as Christians has declined 7 percentage points in our country. It's gone down from almost 80% down to almost 70%. And that's sad. And the same report said that the number of people who identify themselves as nothing, believing nothing, increased. One has to think, what's wrong? Well, it shows us that there's work to do. And we shouldn't lose hope over this. After all, when we think of those apostles, those 12 men, filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, converted a pagan Roman Empire. Well, in our world today, you and I have to remember that while we look forward to heaven, we look to be with our Savior, here and now, you and I are called to do his work. We're called to go out and preach that gospel message. But it begins with us. And that's why St. Paul says that, "Live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love. You and I are called to live a life of Christian virtue. We aren't called to live like we're part of a secular pagan world. We're in this world, but not of this world. People need to see in us not necessarily perfection. No, that's not possible. But they should see someone who is a committed believer, who truly professes the faith as best that he can. So in our thoughts, words, deeds, how we think about life, how we verbalize our life to others, how we even dress and act, do we reflect our faith? This goes to the very heart of who we are. So we need to reflect on this Feast of the Ascension. Are we doing our job? Do we have such hope in Christ that we are bringing that hope through our lives? Now, there's another point to look in our lives about, and that is there something that weighs us down from really living a full Christian life? Christ has ascended. So is there something that has weighed us down, anchored us some way in this world? It's interesting that the virtue of hope is symbolized by an anchor. That's why there's a big anchor in the marble of the narthex, Our Lady of Hope. Well, our hope, our anchoring of life, has to be in Christ. But is it something else? It could be money, could be power, could be some position or authority or pleasure or popularity or popular opinion. Is there something that anchors us down so that we can't ascend to that life that Christ wants us to live? After all, as Jesus said, we are in this world, but not of this world. We don't lower ourselves. No, we rise to live with Him, and we want to bring others up to Him. Because only then can we really go out to others and be a sign of hope. Now, Jesus said to the apostles in the Gospel of Mark that when they go out, signs will accompany them. Those signs will be that they'll be able to speak new languages. They'll be able to cure those who are sick, drive out demons, drink deadly poison, handle serpents. Well, if we looked at Acts of the Apostles, we would find that, yes, they did go out and speak new languages. They went out to different parts of the world. And granted, through the graces of the Holy Spirit, they must have been able to pick up languages so quickly. We could do that, perhaps. But they also cured. We hear of how Peter and Paul both cured paralyzed individuals. They exorcised demons. St. Paul did. St. Paul was bitten by a serpent, survived, didn't even really notice the effect at all. And then outside of the scriptures, we have St. John preaching in Ephesus, and he's dialoguing with this priest of the false goddess Artemis. And the priest decides to poison St. John, and St. John is able to drink it, no effect. Now, our signs might not be so miraculous, but in the same way, as Christians, we need to bear witness to the hope that we believe. So what would be the new language that we need to learn? Well, when you look at the statistics, the decline, someone's not listening. And probably it's because of the complexity of our world. We live in a very scientific, very technological world, albeit many good effects from all of that. But at the same time, we could be seduced into thinking, well, I don't need God. I have life under control. I have the answers to everything. Or science will give me the answers one day. So who really needs God? Who needs the supernatural? Who needs the miraculous and so on? Well, that's the secular atheism in which we live. Sadly, people buy into it. What happens then when tragedy strikes? Disaster. Think, for instance, of the train crash in Philadelphia this week. What would you say to the person who's lost the 20-year-old midshipman? What a tragedy. A man at the beginning of his life. Well, the atheist would say, he's dead. There's the grave. Too bad. Maybe call that lawyer, myphiladelphialawyer.com. Maybe you can sue, get some money, and that will comfort you. That's the language of this world. The language of Christ that offers hope is, look to Christ. And frankly, if that were my son, I would be saying, especially on the news, I raised my child as best I could in faith. I hope and I pray he died in a state of grace. I hope he's with our Lord in heaven, or at least purgatory, awaiting heaven. I hope one day I'll be with him again when this life so quickly passes. And I hope, by God's grace, I can forgive and put this past event behind me. And I hope that maybe the nation will learn something from this tragedy so it doesn't happen again. That's the Christian language. And that's what you and I need to talk about. Atheism is not going to give hope. Nothing beyond a grave. But Christ gives hope. And that's the message people need to hear. And frankly, I believe that's the message people want to hear. But we have to profess it. Take it further. The sign will be that there will be cures. Well, we can cure. We live in a wounded world. We know that. And in our world today, so many people have become disposable, especially the unborn, the disabled, the elderly. They're marginalized. I'm concerned that one day, between the health insurance companies and the government, someone's going to say, well, we have to limit who receives what, and these people shouldn't have health care because it's a waste of resources. That's not the Christian response. For us, especially as the Catholic Church, who has a history of having nursing homes, orphanages, hospitals, other centers, we say no. Every person's valuable. Every person deserves dignity and respect. We help the person who is in need. For instance, just a week ago, I was at the funeral of a priest friend that I've known since seminary. And for the past few months, he's died of an aggressive cancer. But the Little Sisters of the Poor in Richmond took such good care of him. That's Christian hope. They didn't euthanize him, as some would say. No, they gave him love. And that's the message of Christ. And I've known many families that have taken the burden of a loved one who's disabled or elderly and cared for that person. That's the message of hope that we need to bring into this world. And then, of course, Jesus said, well, you'll handle the serpents, drink the poison, exorcise demons. Well, maybe we'll never actually do any of that, but guaranteed, the devil's at work. And so are his little minions we call the demons. Remember, the devil is called the father of lies because he wants to spread the lies so that our minds are poisoned, and just like the venom of a snake, we're paralyzed. How many people are paralyzed in their thinking? So much so that they're willing to redefine things like marriage. Yes, the world says to us as Christians, change your teaching. You don't need doctrine. Change the teaching about the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of the family. Oh, and then we'll believe in you. It's like they said to Jesus on the cross, come down, then we'll believe in you. Save yourself, we'll believe. No, they wouldn't. We become so relevant, we're irrelevant. They won't believe. We'll become nothing but a social club. But our Lord said, the truth will set you free. Pope Benedict always warned about the dictatorship of relativism, meaning when we lose sight of truth and we accept the errors and we see no longer right versus wrong and we redefine terms. He said when there's the dictatorship of relativism, the one in power will tell you what you'll think, and then you'll be a slave. Truth sets us free. And truth sets us free to love as Christ loved. We just marked the 70th anniversary of the conclusion of World War II in Europe. Should we not remember that Hitler, since the early 1920s, spread his lies, his errors, and so many were poisoned by it, And where did it lead? Destruction and doom. You and I have to bear witness to the truth, because truth enables us to love. Truth gives us hope. So my brothers and sisters, when we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, we have joyful hope that our Lord who's in heaven has prepared a place for us. We have joyful hope that our Lord is with us right now. But you and I have to go out and bear that message of hope to others. May God bless you.